Sean Finnegan, and you are listening to Restitutio, a podcast that seeks to recover authentic Christianity and live it out today. Something is going on in New Zealand, and I'm excited to tell you about it. In today's interview, I speak with Zach Mayo, who along with his wife Kayla were serving as youth pastors at an evangelical church when they came to change their minds on the doctrine of the Trinity. Now they're organizing a conference to unite one God believers in New Zealand and invite folks from Australia and beyond to come. Here now is episode 554, Biblical Unitarian Christians in New Zealand with Zach Mayo. Welcome, Zach Mayo, to Restitutio. Thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, pleasure to be here, Sean, and nice to chat.
To begin with, could you tell us a bit about yourself and your faith journey?
Yeah, so I'm 26. I live in New Zealand, on the other side of the world to you guys. I have a wife. We've been married for 7 years. And I have a little boy, Jethro. He's 1.5. And I've got another little boy on the way, actually, during September. So we're pretty busy at the moment, but that's pretty cool. In terms of my faith journey, it's hard to pinpoint a day that I would say I became a Christian or a moment. I think for me, it was more over a period of time and whatnot. But I used to go to these camps when I was a child, from 8 to about 15, every holidays, school holidays. And this was a Christian-based camp. And we used to go there and they had all sorts of people come and speak. And I remember when I was there for maybe the second or third time, I was only 8, kind of, that was when I felt something and I knew it was the truth. But it probably wasn't until I was about 15 or 16 that things really became my own faith, rather than, you know, my parents or my other friends, I guess. And so when I was about 15 or 16, that's when I became a little bit more friends with my wife Kayla. We began to date when I was 16, and her family really, I guess, changed my life or helped me to make my faith my own. And so it was about 15 or 16 that I'd say I really started to settle in that church and get involved in the worship team and, you know, spend time reading my Bible for myself and things like that. So that was about 15, 16, and came out of high school, and my wife and I, we got married pretty young. So we were only 19 when we got married, and we moved around a little bit. We moved around in New Zealand. We were actually raft guides. So we worked in adventure tourism, doing rafting, mountaineering, skiing, all sorts of different things like that. So we traveled around a bit, and it was super fun. And we learned a lot about each other, and we got to appreciate God's creation. And it was awesome to sort of do that for a while.
And is it very unusual to get married at 19 in New Zealand?
Yeah, fairly. If you weren't a Christian, at least, or had the sort of Christian values that we had, it's pretty uncommon. In our circle, it's not super uncommon, because a lot of our friends are Christian and they all have been married young. So, like, for instance, Kayla's, both her brothers were married fairly young, 19 and 20. And then a lot of our friends were married around that 20 mark. So, but 19, yeah, we were definitely the first out of our sort of friend group. And we're so glad we did. We're 7 years now, and it's just as good, if not better, now than it was when we got married. You know, it's awesome. I love my wife, and she's definitely been a rock in my life. So she'll probably hate me for ratting on her like that. But yeah, we kind of got married young, and we're traveling around a bit and traveling between different churches and things like this. And at this point, I should add, I was still a Trinitarian, or at least what you would say, like, I probably wouldn't have been able to tell you a whole lot about what I believed about who God was and who Jesus was then, but just by association, the churches I was with, the people who I talked to, I never had really a big issue with it, because no one really had said much. And so we sort of had been involved in these churches. But when we came back from Queenstown, where we were living at the time we moved back to Hamilton or Cambridge area to be closer to Kayla's family and my family, we actually took on a role that I took on a role in Kayla as well as the youth pastors at a church in Hamilton. We were the youth pastors at a church there for 3.5 years, which was pretty cool.
And what kind of church was that? Was that evangelical or
mainline? Yeah, evangelical. Yeah, we call the like Brethren movement, Open Brethren, just pretty evangelical, reasonably conservative. But yeah, just a pretty standard run-of-the-mill church. Like it was nice to be at. We really enjoyed it there. We love the people, very family orientated. About maybe 300 people at the church. We got on really well and we really enjoyed it there. But obviously that had finished. And so I'm not sure if you want me to talk about, I can talk about a little bit of the journey of how I sort of came
yeah.
to.
Yeah, absolutely. Please.
A Unitarian faith. Yeah. The Unitarian side of our faith came because of my wife's father. So my father-in-law, Vaughn, he went on a pretty big journey by himself over a decade ago. He was actually challenged by, I think, his brother, who came to him and was like, hey, have you read the start of, you know, Paul's epistles? And do you see how they talk about Jesus and God and how they're different and whatnot? Yeah. And so he started to go, nah, you're crazy. Like Vaughn, my father-in-law, said to his brother, nah, you're crazy. Like Jesus is definitely God. And the Trinity is true. Like, you know, what are you talking about? And so he went away, you know, to look at it, study his Bible, and started asking some big questions. And he kind of came away from it going, man, Jesus might not actually be God, or it, you know, there might be something here. And so he started looking into it a bit more, reading his Bible. And at this point, he didn't have any resources. He didn't have anything like your podcast, Restitutio, at the time. At least he didn't know about it. And he didn't have the other websites he hadn't found yet. And so he was sort of on his own journey, but he came to an understanding that was vastly different to what he had been brought up believing, which he will say now is just all God's glory. You know, God opened his eyes to see that. Funny enough, his brother actually is still a Trinitarian, the one who brought it up. And
what?
Yeah, I know. Crazy. Like his brother was at seminary, I think, and was writing some paper or whatever, and that's what made him question it. But then, funny enough, Vaughn, the one who was telling him he's crazy, did end up becoming a Unitarian, and then his brother didn't. So it was it's an interesting story, but maybe one for another day. And so anyway, that was a while ago, and he just was on that, you know, Unitarian train by himself for a long time, but he never lost, you know, that open and that desire for fellowship, and he talked about it with anyone who would listen. He obviously lost his, you know, any position in all the churches he was at. He often would be kicked out because of his beliefs. Even people who were his friends stopped talking to him, and he lost contact with a lot of people, which is pretty sad. But is not an uncommon theme, unfortunately, for Unitarians. You know, when we do change our beliefs, it often comes with a cost. And so I respect and love my father-in-law for that, because it's pretty hard to do it even when you've got friends and family around you, let alone by yourself. So yeah, he was there. And when I came into the picture with Kayla, his daughter, and we were dating and whatnot, he was a real blessing. And, you know, he would challenge me on what I thought about the Trinity and what I thought about Jesus and who he was. And I kind of gave him standard answers, you know, oh, Jesus had two natures and he was fully God and fully man. That's how, you know, there's these seemingly contradictory statements in the New Testament and whatnot, as we all do, I guess, when we're getting challenged with that stuff and we haven't thought about it a whole lot.
Well, you probably also would say, I'm sure that the experts have this figured out. I don't need to necessarily explain it or understand it. I can just agree with it and my life just goes on. No problems, you know, yeah. But he kept asking you, well, yeah, how do you explain that? And so what happened next?
Yeah. So, I mean, it was a long process. It definitely didn't happen quickly, but I remember myself and him staying up till midnight when I was, you know, over at their place just talking and reading scripture. And it was really eye-opening because he started to point out things I hadn't thought about, you know, hey, Jesus is God. How could he die? He'd say, well, if we really hold scripture as our sole authority of, you know, truth and where we get our truth from, then how can we start adding things in there that it's not saying, and he'd point out clear scriptures, John 17:3, things like that, you know, that I hadn't really even thought about before. And so my mind definitely started to shift. So this was, you know, a long time, but I would have still considered myself, I guess, a Trinitarian or some degree, but it wasn't very convincing, that's for sure. When obviously me and Kayla got married, we moved away from home and we weren't spending heaps of time around them and we didn't really think about it. And I think I just put it on the back burner. I just said, oh, it's not that important, because I knew what had happened with him and his churches. And so I kind of thought, well, I don't really want that to happen to me and Kayla. You know, we want to go to our churches and be part of fellowships. And while we're moving around, we need that, you know, community. And so we kind of, I mean, I'm not sure if I did it consciously or just didn't want to get into it or what, but we just never brought it up. We just kind of didn't talk about it. We didn't think about it. It was sort of there. And even when we came to back to Hamilton and we got our jobs as youth pastors, we had some serious questions about, you know, Trinity and the deity of Christ, but we still took the job at the church where we went, and their statement of faith was a Trinitarian one. And we did tell some people who knew us who were at the church about our sort of feelings and our problems. And it was funny because their comments were, oh, you're young, you'll figure it, like, you know, you'll come around.
Don't you hate it when they say that? It's just pat you on the head. Oh, you're just so young. You don't know anything.
Yeah. You don't know, exactly. And so we kind of just were like, we kind of chuckled to ourselves and we're like, okay, we are young, but we knew our Bible fairly well. Again, I think the part that where it stopped was we just didn't think it was that important. We didn't think it was a real big issue. It wasn't an issue at least worth bringing up and causing any, arguments over. We just thought, let's get on with it. Let's just serve Christ in this church and let's be the youth pastors here and serve the young people and do that. And so that was cool. We did that for 3.5 years. And this is sort of when things began to get more serious. As I was a youth pastor, you know, we started hearing messages at church by our pastor. He'd preach, and or at least some of the elders who would preach, you know, they would say things sometimes and it would really ruffle our feathers. Things like, you know, yeah, God died on the cross for you. Things like that, that would, you know, just one-off statements. And we'd go, man, is that really what the Bible teaches? Or does the Bible teach that God sent his son who died for you? You know, and so this happened over, you know, those few years. And then by the end of the 3.5 years we were youth pastoring, our son, Kayla, was pregnant and we were getting close to him being born. And we kind of really said to ourselves, we need to make a decision on this. We need to really decide, hey, is this actually important? And is it worth doing something about? And so we both spent a good chunk of time together studying the word, really asking ourselves, is it that important? And then I actually remember Vaughn, he had found all your podcasts and whatnot by now, and he sent me an episode, I think it was by a guy, Chuck, and it was, Does Truth Really Matter? I don't know if you remember that. It was a while ago. Yep, that's the one. And that episode he sent to me, and I didn't want to watch it, I didn't want to watch it because I knew what he was going to say, and I was scared. So, but I did end up watching it, and it was a real blessing because he pointed out, you know, like if we suppress the truth because it benefits us, or we're not going to speak up and talk about something because it benefits us, is that really what we as Christians should do? And how much does it matter for our journey? You know, if we're going to say we believe something here but then not act on it, do we really believe it? Anyway, it was a real challenge. And we ended up talking to a couple of our elders who were our friends, and they initially weren't really that shocked. It was an interesting conversation. They kind of thought, oh, maybe this could work. You could probably stay at the church and just change the statement of faith. Because we said, look, we can't continue on with the statement of faith. We need, you know, we want to be honest and upfront about it. We thought, oh, that was a really good conversation. We laid out everything we believed and where we had come to. But then they went away and talked to the other elders and our pastor. And within 2 or 3 days, we lost our job. We didn't go back to church. That quickly. Yeah, it was that quick. Yeah. They had said, we're putting you on hold, is how they put it, or we're taking you off all responsibilities.
So they didn't try to persuade you. They just fired you.
No, they sort of did. They came in and, like, our pastor came in and had one conversation with us.
Oh, okay. So he did try to give you his case.
Yeah, he brought John one, and he brought a couple other little passages that we had already thought about, and you know, we'd studied for a long time, and we told him what we thought about those, and we asked him a few questions that he couldn't answer as well. We showed him a few passages that he just went away.
He might have felt intimidated then at that point, because what he thought were his slam dunk verses or real solid evidence, you were able to sweep away, but then yours, he didn't have any. No. So.
And that's right. We were pretty shocked, you know, that because it all happened within a couple of days. So it was all real fresh and raw. And, you know, at the time, and now obviously we can think back on it, but, you know, he came in and he wanted to just convince us that we were wrong rather than listen to us and hear what we had to say. After that conversation, that he obviously went back to the elders and they had a meeting and said, oh, we're going to stand Zach and Caleb down from all responsibilities. He can't preach, they can't teach, they won't go to youth group anymore, they won't run it. Basically said, you're stopping. It wasn't that we were necessarily fired on that spot, but we were taken off from our job. Basically, we couldn't do it. And they said, until you basically change your mind, can't go back, is sort of the conversation and how it happened. And we were like, look, we're not going to change our minds on this overnight. In all honesty, we're actually pretty solid. We've kind of come to a landing. We've been looking at this for between 6 months and a year, really, really in-depthly. And I know that's not super long, because I know Dale Tuggy took, what, 10 years or something, 20 years to do it. So a year to 6 months isn't heaps, but it was enough for us to go, hey, we think there's a problem here. And to have enough evidence actually to put it forward to people pretty convincingly, or at least for ourselves, we were pretty convinced that this was the truth. And so we parted ways with the church. It wasn't the most horrendous. We left with a few people who we're still in contact with, but in most part, we haven't kept a lot of the relationships we had. A lot of people don't want to talk about it. It's sort of an awkward thing. And we were pretty surprised, actually, with the lack of contact that we had from people in the church afterwards. I'm not sure we didn't go to our church services, because the week after this all happened, the first sermon back was, is the Trinity true? And then the next 2 weeks were Jesus's humanity and then Jesus's deity. So they did like a three-part series that, like, the following 3 weeks on the Trinity and is Jesus God. And we were just like, oh, what a kick in the guts. They didn't want to hear it. We asked to go before the elders and have a meeting with the elders and sort of lay out why we've come to this position, and they didn't want to hear from us. They just said, nah, we're okay. We know what we believe, and yeah, we're not going to change. So it was a bit sad, but we throughout it all had a real peace. And that was something that we give to God, and we thank him for that, because we knew, you know, the Spirit was definitely working in our lives at this point, because Kayla was 9 months pregnant. We were losing our job as youth pastors, and we had all of this stuff going on. And yeah, we weren't stressed. We weren't super anxious about it. We knew this was the right move to make. And yeah, we were super, super stoked about it.
Let me pause you there. When you were in that year of study, did you read any books that were helpful?
Yeah. Yep, we did. So Jeff Dibel, his book, it wasn't out for long when we got it. It hadn't been out for long, I think, then. I'm not actually sure, though. So I read Jeff Dibel's book, Christ Before Creeds. I think that one was probably the easiest book that I read. And it was the one that I found the most helpful. It laid out everything so clearly and easy. It wasn't big language. There wasn't much jargon in there that I couldn't understand. So that was a great book. I read Anthony Buzzard's book, The Self-Inflicted Wound.
That's a little more technical.
Yes, that was. So that one, I read it, but definitely a little bit more technical. And I found it very helpful for certain texts, because he goes a lot more in depth into, you know, his exegesis and whatnot. So those were really helpful. I read Keegan Chandler's book, The God of Jesus. That one, if I could choose one book to keep, it would probably be Keegan's book, because the history in the beginning of the book, the first half of it, I found super helpful. I mean, it's a question we all have to answer. Well, how the heck did we get where we are? You know, how do we get to the Trinity being the dominant view? And so when he laid that out in the first half, it makes it so much more easy to go, okay, that's how we got there. So what does the Bible mean if we actually go back and read it with the Jewish lens you know, that non-Greek philosophical lens that, that a lot of us still have today that we read the Bible with. So that was really a really good book. I've got a few other. Greg Dibble's book. They Never Told Me This in Church.
Yep, that gets into other doctrines too.
Yes, exactly. So not just that. And I haven't really mentioned this as well, but when we going through all of our journey and whatnot, we, and since from then till today, we've changed our minds on a lot of things. For instance, I've read your book, The Kingdom, and man, the gospel of the kingdom's ideas have changed how I see a lot of scripture, you know, and that has come through from seeing a lot of Unitarians sort of going that direction. I was going, hey, I wonder what there is here. That's been real eye-opening, and a few other things, conditional immortality. I was, you know, my understanding of hell and whatnot. So all of these things have been challenged.
Have you come across Warren Prestige's book? Because he is a fellow countryman of yours.
Yes, I have. So Warren actually, so for the last year, we went to a church in Hamilton that is sort of half Unitarian, half Trinitarian. They've got a mix of people. But Warren actually came and spoke at that church. So I met him in person, and I've got a copy of his book. I think is it Life, Death, and Hell or something like that? I can't.
Life, Death, and Destiny. Yeah.
Destiny, that's the one. Yeah. They've all been super helpful in sort of my understanding, as well as your podcast, Dale Tuggy's podcast. Last year, end of 2023, I was in the 0.5% of top listeners for Restitutio. I'm pretty sure I listened to like 5,000 minutes of Restitutio.
Oh,
I'm a builder, so I can chuck my headphones on at work.
Okay.
You know, I'm doing work and I can just listen, which is so cool. But I listen to pretty much every one of your classes, like the One God class and your theology class, which is you did a while ago. So, I've listened to pretty much every episode since. So, yeah, it's been such a blessing. I just wanted to say thanks.
So, you're welcome. So glad to hear it. Sometimes when you're putting the work in, you think to yourself, is this doing any good?
yeah. Oh,
and especially when you're editing audio, when you're editing, that's when it hits me the most. And I'm like, this is just terrible. You know, what's the point of my life? That is encouraging to hear.
No, it has been such a blessing. And have learned so much. And I mean, look, I'm not saying there are things I still disagree with a lot of people, and I'm open to talking about it. But I think what I love about Restitutio and especially the Unitarian community by and large is that most people are willing to talk about things that in past churches that I've been involved in, they're just not. People don't want to challenge the status quo. They want to just have their stock standard answers, and they don't want to think about them. And so that's something that, you know, I've had to learn, and it's a challenge. You don't like being questioned. You don't like being put on the, you know, examining table, but I think it's been great for me. And I know that Restitutio and the books that I've read have been real help. Oh, and another book that I did read was Dale Tuggy's book as well, just Trinity. What is the Trinity? Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, it's a great little introduction book to the philosophical side of the Trinity. Mm. He's so funny in that book because he plays it. Yeah. He plays coy like up until, I don't know, chapter 8, chapter 9. Then he's like, by the way, I don't believe in the Trinity at all. Just so funny.
Sort of sneaks it in there at the end that he kind of tells you all these problems that they've got.
Yeah, here's all the problems. And you like, I think the honest or the sort of uninformed reader is probably thinking like, all right, he's going to come out with a really good solution for how this all makes sense in the end. Yeah. Instead, he's just like, there's no solution.
just throw it away. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, and listening to it, I listen to it on audiobooks as well. I bought it on I love listening. Dale's voice, he's pretty monotone, but it's so relaxing sometimes.
He has a nice, deep voice, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's good.
I was going to ask you to continue from where you had left off. You had just mentioned going to this other church that has some Unitarians in it. Did that take you a while to find, or were you doing just home church, or what were you doing after leaving?
Yeah, so it was actually crazy. I mean, we had finished up at the church we were at, and we were like, man, what next? And Kayla's family, so Kayla's father, Unitarian, and Kayla's brothers are both Unitarian as well. Now that obviously they went on a similar journey to us, Kayla's mother. And so we were like, man, what are we going to do? And we actually got in contact with Greg Dibble. And we asked him, hey, do you know any churches in New Zealand, Hamilton, Cambridge area, that Unitarian or have would accept Unitarians at least? And so he put us onto a church in Hamilton. He said, yeah, I know these guys. I'm actually coming over to New Zealand to do, you know, to speak and do some teaching over there in a couple months. So we went along there, and a couple months later, he came over and we met him, and that was such a blessing. So we were able to find this church that, you know, at least allowed us to come. They wouldn't put themselves out there as Unitarian. They wouldn't even put themselves out there as Trinitarian. They just sort of either or. And the churches, you know, we really enjoyed going there for a time. And it was nice to be, I guess, accepted and welcomed to come to a place. And we, after a while, did struggle to stay there because of they didn't have a pastor, and all the preachers that were coming in were people from, like, pastors from other churches or seminary professors or like university professors who were all Trinitarian. And so often we would actually still get hounded for our beliefs, or when we questioned them or when we asked about, you know, hey, why do you think that? And we'd sort of get told off for bringing it up. And it was a real, you know, after a time, we just felt a little bit like, hey, maybe this isn't the church for us. And so we actually aren't at that church anymore. But it was a real blessing at the start because we got to meet a few people that we didn't know existed, because we were pretty much by ourselves at this point as Unitarians, you know, in a world of Trinitarians. We were able to meet a few people and have some really cool conversations and be really encouraged by that. So anyway, over that next year, it was a little bit messy, but now we're kind of doing our own thing at home with our family, and we're doing a bit of a Bible study. We're sort of in the process of beginning that up with a few of the other people from Hamilton and in family. Obviously, it's a little bit difficult when we've got, my wife's pregnant and we've got a little son. So we're trying to balance work and life and all of these other things. But it's been a bit of a struggle, I'm not going to lie, to find fellowship and find community that is willing to affirm a Unitarian faith. We're pretty isolated, but there is a really cool number of people spread around New Zealand who I've been able to get in contact over the last year with.
Yeah, let's talk about that. You applied to the UCA to run a conference. What inspired you to do that? And what's it been like as far as the planning?
Like I was saying, with the church and kind of being in and out of groups and whatnot, we felt pretty isolated. We found the UCA during that year, and I was super excited when I found the UCA. I didn't even know it existed until a year ago, or maybe a little bit more than that now. I became a member, and I saw there were other people in New Zealand on there. And so I started reaching out and messaging them and trying to just introduce myself, which was pretty cool, and talk to a few people. But there was still this desire in me to have something happen. Everyone's separated. Everyone's quite spread out throughout New Zealand. And I was said to myself, man, what would it be like? Or what could we do to bring everyone together? How can we get these Unitarians who are spread out throughout New Zealand and meet up? And when I was on the UCA page, I saw that you guys had brought out a new page. It was international conferences. And I said, man, that sounds exactly like what we need, a group meeting where anyone could come, you know, where just one God believers can come together and hear some good teaching, have some fellowship and be together. So I pretty much immediately just messaged the UCA, just emailed. I think it was Stacey who I was talking with initially. She said, hey, look, yeah, we'd be happy to do something, but here's some information that we need first. So I started filling out some of those things. And then I believe you got in touch with me.
And then I got busy and I handed you off to Brandon.
Brandon, yeah, that's right.
And then now I'm back. But that's the way life is. You know, you go through these periods where seasons and so forth. So talk about how you've been able to get in touch with other Unitarian Christians in New Zealand and make connections and invite them.
I started asking people. So I got into, obviously emailed everyone on the UCA page that was from New Zealand and started asking them, you know, if they'd be interested in having a phone call or meeting up if they were close by. And when I met them, I'd ask, hey, do you know anyone else? Do you know any other Unitarians around? And they would pass me on to someone else. And so I'd get their phone number or their email address and send an email or a text.
That's old school right there, man. That's some serious phone work.
Yeah. So it was a real pleasure, actually, because I had some phone calls with quite a few different people all throughout New Zealand. And I mentioned to them, hey, I'm thinking about organizing this conference. The guys from America have said, yeah, we're keen to help you run this. You know, we'd be keen to do something, but how many people were interested? So I started getting on the phones and talking, and everyone seemed really keen. I talked to probably about 35-ish different people throughout New Zealand. They all were really positive. They were super excited to hear from me. And I heard a lot of their journeys as well. And it's been really cool. A guy down in the South Island of New Zealand, Ken, it was an awesome. We chatted for like, I think 2 hours or more, just on the phone one evening. And it was awesome. You know, I was able to talk about things, and we talked about our Unitarian faith and how we both sort of came to it. But then we also talked about other theologies and different things. And it was so cool. And so I mentioned to them about a UCA conference here in New Zealand, and it was overwhelming, you know, that they were all very positive, very happy and excited, and keen to hear more about it. So I kind of left them there, unfortunately, because I said, hey, look, I'll do some organizing. And a lot of the people I haven't really talked to much again, apart from a few emails or texts just to say, hey, things are happening still. We made a bit of a planning committee. So out of the people who I talked to, I asked about 5 people if they would be interested in forming a bit of a planning committee. So a guy, Matthew, he's from Wellington. A couple, Michael and Yvonne, they're from sort of central North Island. And then myself and my wife, Kayla. We started a planning committee, and we kind of met together to begin. And we found a venue, and we had some dates that we proposed to the board. We had worked a bit together, and we even got Jeff Dybel. He's come on board now, which is awesome. He's going to sort of be our Australian liaison because he's keen to be involved. And we would love for Australians to come over for the conference. And I know initially we thought it was going to be a New Zealand conference. I hadn't really thought about Australia at the start, but then my wife, mentioned to me, hey, what do we do about Australia? You know, we've got Greg and Jeff both over there. I wonder if they'd be able to help us maybe try and talk to some people from Australia. So they're going to help us promote that once we get the website up and running. So we've got all the info, we've got a date, we've got a venue. So it's going to be in Cambridge in November. That's the 22nd to the 24th of November. It's locked in, date and venue, but we're just waiting to get the website up and running so people can register and we can start pointing them there and have all the other information, I guess, up there for them.
Yeah, this is exciting. I am curious, though, how do New Zealanders think about Australians? Are you guys, I'm sure you have some competition, because I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some rivalry. Some people don't like Australians. I mean, I can speak for myself and people I know. We kind of see them just as like brothers, maybe cousins. There's probably a bit of when there's not a big rivalry, apart from sports. If there's sports and we're watching a football game or rugby, especially rugby, if it's New Zealand, Australia, then you start to get a bit of a bit of a rivalry going. Yeah, but we we've got plenty of friends over in Australia, especially Greg and Jeff and stuff, and we love them, and we're kind of the little brother. It is a little bit painful sometimes when people just say, oh, New Zealanders are just Australians, but separated over the water. For New Zealanders to be called Australians is like Canadians to be called Americans. So if that makes any more sense to you guys, it's just similar. Yeah,
no, that communicates. Well, speaking of Canadians and Americans and our European friends as well, is this conference open to those people to come to? Are you looking to bring in internationals? Is travel pretty easy to New Zealand? Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I guess it goes without saying, we'd love as many people to come as we can get. The whole point and the goal behind this is to connect with other Unitarians. And so wherever they come from, far and wide, they're welcome. We would love for obviously Australians and New Zealanders to be involved highly. But if there were people, from the States or from Europe who wanted to go on a bit of a holiday and time it to come for our summer in November, end of November, December's pretty lovely time of year. It's getting into summer for us. So we'd love to have those people come. I was also thinking countries like Fiji or the Philippines or, those sort of southern hemisphere countries might be a little bit more inclined to come this way rather than having, trying to get to the UK or the States for a conference.
Or even Hawaii is probably closer to you than me.
Yeah, it's on the other side of the whole country, right? So, yeah, exactly. So we would love to see people come from all over. In terms of getting to New Zealand is probably the furthest away most people, you know, can get from where they live. It's, we are down the bottom of the world here, but it's not horrendous to get to. I don't know what the prices and stuff are these days to get to New Zealand, but in terms of a country to get into, it's fairly easy to come on a bit of a holiday here. But it is a fair flight. I believe from LA to New Zealand is like 16 hours or something like that in a plane.
It's a long ride, but yeah. Hey, your country is such a diverse, geographically interesting place. You know, you have these volcanoes, you have, don't you have like ice and glaciers and, you know, the Lord of the Rings was filmed there, right?
So
you could run into a hobbit, who knows? Yeah. But no, they preserved that set, didn't they?
Yeah, so we actually only live about 20 minutes from the Hobbiton set. So, and I was saying before we worked in adventure tourism, my wife's first job out of high school was actually working at the Hobbiton set in Matamata, which is that you can go for a tour there. You can see the Hobbiton village and the Shire and whatnot. So it's, yeah, there's so many cool things. And yeah, like the South Island is full of mountains and glaciers and pretty rugged down there. In some parts, that obviously there's still cities and the nicer spots, Christchurch and whatnot. But there's also, just amazing walks, rivers that are crystal clear. And I'm trying to sell New Zealand here, aren't I? I love New Zealand. It's an amazing country to live in. We're blessed to be pretty free to be able to, you know, have different religions and different thoughts. And so we'd love for people to come and see what we're all about here and come and meet us. And check out some pretty cool countryside as well. When you're here, if you love Lord of the Rings, definitely, yeah, come up and see that. This is something that we've talked about as a planning committee as well. We'd love to host people when they're here. If people from overseas are planning on coming and do want to get over, get in touch with us, because I'm planning on taking some time off work around the time to maybe take people and do some trips out to see some mountains or see some things like that. So if people are interested in coming, I would love to help them see the country a little bit.
Yeah, and you have experience with going to a lot of these places as well.
Exactly. So I'm happy to do that. And when registrations are open and we can get an idea of who's coming, I can start to make a little bit more of a plan of what we're going to do and see when people are going to fly over. Maybe people will come for a couple of weeks. You know, we might get a time to do a few things.
Yeah.
As well.
Very good. Are you looking for presenters currently, or you have the lineup fully done, or what's the story
there? So the plan is once registrations are open, we were going to advertise, I guess, this, but we are going to do a bit of a call for papers, kind of like the USA one, but it's going to be not papers, but presentation. So the plan will be come and present something or put it on to us as the planning committee, and we'll sort of have a look at it. We'll choose the ones, I guess, that we feel will be the most beneficial, I guess the best. If we get that many, I'm not sure how many we get, we might only get a few. So that would be pretty cool. However, we are planning on having Dale Tuggy and Mark Kane both coming over for the conference. Yeah, so we'll hopefully get them to present something.
Yes, and Mark Kane has a whole recording setup. And so he can bring that. I think he's bringing that to the UK conference. He'll be able to test it on them there. And if there are any problems, by the time he gets to New Zealand, assuming he's able to make it, then we'll be able to record and then add the presentations with your beautiful Kiwi accents. you know, we Americans, we're fascinated by your accent. It's just like, it tickles our ear, you know?
It's funny because we think the same about like English people. We think, oh man, they've got such a smart accent.
Yeah. We're very impressed with the English as well. Yeah.
We just think we sound like, I don't know, farmers, just pretty rugged and carefree. But no, that's interesting to hear.
Yeah, I remember interviewing Warren Prestige, and no, it wasn't him. It was David Burge. His accent was so thick, Zach. Yeah. I tell you, I could not. There were times where I had no idea what he said, no idea at all. And then I just went on to the next question. I'm like, well, let's just hope that it was good, whatever he said there, because I have no idea. With you, I think it's pretty easy, for me at least.
The further south you go in New Zealand, the thicker the accent seems to get. So if I'm up kind of middle of the North Island, Cambridge, which is a couple hours south of Auckland, if people know where that is. But yeah, the further south you go, especially if you kind of right at the bottom, Invercargill, you know, that Southland area, is pretty thick. They speak with a pretty thick accent.
Can you impersonate it? What does it sound like?
No, I can't.
Okay.
Can't even do it. Yeah. No. I'd just make it fool myself, so I'm not even going to try.
Okay, so once again, the conference is November 22nd to the 24th.
Yes.
For my American brothers and sisters, I do want to just inform you that this is not going to conflict with Thanksgiving. So if you have family plans for Thanksgiving, you can get back in time. It's not till the 28th this year for us. It's a confusing holiday because it changes dates every year. All right. Well, anything else we should cover as far as your story or this conference or other stuff that's going on? I suppose we'll mention, just before I turn it over to you, let's mention that the information will be on UnitarianChristianAlliance.org. I have spoken to the person who's putting it up, and it should be up by the time this podcast is out. UnitarianChristianAlliance.org, yeah. And then there's a menu on the top that has events, and under events is 2024 conferences. So it should be there.
Yeah, like that's the main thing. We want to get this out, spread far and wide to as many people who we can get it, so they know it's happening. And that's the key, is just word of mouth, letting people know. So if you know anyone in New Zealand listening, let them know that this is going on. I might have talked to them, and I might have got their email address, and I might be letting them know, but there's a chance I haven't. I will say this, the Christadelphian community in New Zealand, I've got in touch with a couple people, but if you have contacts, especially Christadelphians, if you guys have any contacts with people in New Zealand, let them know as well, because we would love to have the Christadelphian community be involved as well, because I know they're a big, massive involvement in the UK and in the US conferences, and we would love to see them be a part of it here. So for any Christadelphians listening, please get in touch with me and or your friends and let them know this is happening. If you are from New Zealand and you're a Christadelphian, feel free to get in touch with me. But otherwise, we're just really excited that this is happening, and we want to spread the message of who God is and who Jesus is, and we want to have fellowship with other like-minded people. So that's what this conference is about, just beginning something here in New Zealand, and we're not sure where it'll take us.
Yeah, it's an exciting thought. I mean, it could cause some new connections and perhaps even some coalescing of isolated individuals into house churches as a starting point, at least, and maybe even larger, more sustainable churches with time.
Yeah, exactly. God willing, that would happen. We'd love to see that. Get in touch if you have any questions as well. We're going to email myself and I believe Jeff. We're going to get in touch with people. I'll try and get in touch with people from New Zealand. I think Jeff and Greg Dybul, they're going to do a bit of sort of, networking in Australia to let people know what's happening. And so for anyone who's in New Zealand or Australia who is listening, hopefully you'll get an email from us soon. If you're part of the UCA members, then we should be able to send you an email from there. If you're listening to this and you're not a member on the UCA, I would encourage you to jump on there and sign up, because it's so much easier to find people.
And you can just get a free membership if you don't want to contribute financially, and you just get a free membership. If you want to contribute financially, that's great too, because then we can underwrite some of the expenses for these kinds of things, which is helpful as well.
It's worth mentioning that the conference is free to come to. There's no cost. We've actually been able to got some generous people involved, as well as the UCA, who are going to help with the costs of things. We've done it in a way that's going to keep this conference down. So it's going to be free to come to. The cost you'll have to find is obviously your travel to get here and then your accommodation for the weekend. But in terms of lunch and dinner and everything else that goes on for the conference, venue itself, all of those things, they will be covered by us. So
now that's hospitality, Zach. You might have outdone the English on that one.
We're trying to make it as easy for people to come as possible, because we know that it can be a cost, but we want to see people come. And maybe in a few years to come, we might change it. Maybe next year we'll do it in Australia, and it's easier for Australians to come along to, and we might travel over to see you guys, and vice versa. Who knows what the future holds, but at least at this stage, we're just rolling with something, and we'll see where it goes.
Very good. Well, thanks for talking with me today. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, no worries, Shauna. It's been a pleasure. Thanks.
Well, that brings this interview to an end. What did you think? Come on over to Restitutio.org and find episode 554, Biblical Unitarian Christians in New Zealand, and leave your comments there. Well, after that interview concluded, I was able to confirm that I am planning on attending this event in New Zealand. So, New Zealand brothers and sisters, I am delighted to be able to announce that I am going to be coming. And I also hope to see the Dybel brothers, Greg and Jeff. Of course, Greg, I have met in the flesh once or twice before at different conferences in the USA, but never so far west. Is it west or east? I don't know. The other side of the world. And we're not quite in Australia, but we're close enough. And so it'd be great to spend some time with the Mayos, the Dybels, and the other brothers and sisters there. If you are like me, living in the United States, it does take quite a bit of logistical planning to get all the way out there. But if you can get out there, why not make a vacation out of it? Why not take some extra time and go see the islands? And it's just incredible the kinds of geography and sights you can see if you do end up going. So that might be a great vacation option for you. If you are interested, whether you live in New Zealand, Australia, Fiji, the Philippines, or wherever you happen to live, and you are planning to attend this event, we do have a link now available in the show notes for this episode. So you can get those on your device if you're listening through a podcast app and click on the link there, or you can get it through Restitutio.org. Just find episode 554, Biblical Unitarian Christians in New Zealand, and you'll be able to find the link there. On last week's interview with Kermit Zarley, Cato1006 wrote in saying, "Excellent interview. Brother Zarley, you are a blessing to the body of Christ. Your books have helped me so much." That's a comment I've heard multiple times. Kermit Zarley's books have been out for a long time, but this recent republishing of his Restitution is really worth picking up. I highly recommend it. It's very thorough, and it can help you understand the Christology, but also to explain confusing verses. So take a look at that. That's called Restitution. You can get that on Amazon. As for our interview the week before with Suzanne Lakin, Julia Carolyn wrote in saying, "Amen to all this. I am so encouraged. I was Trinitarian a year ago and went to all the above mentioned names and resources and am now Biblical Unitarian. It seems so counter to what you've learned from the Bible, and then you start to see things you didn't. And the Bible makes so much more sense, and God is so much more evident. His truth is what it is. I don't have to read into the words. It's awesome." Well, that's a wonderful comment, and this is something we're hearing more and more year by year, more and more people coming to see that the Trinity idea is a later addition to Scripture, and that we really don't need it to make sense of what the Bible says about God, about Jesus, and about the Holy Spirit. Thanks for writing in, Julia. Peter wrote in on Suzanne's interview as well, saying, "Super interview, Suzanne and Sean. Really, really resonated with what you shared and your hearts for seeking the truth. I don't believe we would line up 100% on every theological comma and dot, but I'm 99.9% in agreement, and I'm always open to shifting on what I believe on some point if I'm wrong. This is code for be open to really hearing others out. Do any of us 100% have exactly the same understandings of Scripture? Our life journeys, including spiritual experiences, does color our understandings of Scripture to some degree in places. I 100% agree with the spirit and diplomacy of both your approaches of just genuinely sitting with others in conversation on a topic. Not fearing the truth, wherever it may lead, is a personally satisfying way to live." And his comment goes on from there. If you'd like to read the rest of it, you can find that on Restitutio.org under episode 552, "Seminary Convinced Me the Trinity is Wrong." So take a look at that if you're interested. That's going to be it for our time today, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to the end here. If you'd like to support us, you can do that at restitutio.org. I'll catch you next week. And remember, the truth has nothing to fear.